Welcome to the study of God's Word with pastor and author Steve Mays, recorded at Calvary Chapel South Bay in Gardena, California. To learn more about the many resources available through Light of the Word, visit us online at lightoftheword.org or request a copy of our latest catalog at 1-800-339-WISE. And now, here's Pastor Steve to take us into our study.
Well, shall we turn to Acts chapter 26? I want to share with you today, and it's always kind of a difficult thing when you kind of get away from just the simplicity of teaching through the Bible. But there are times that you can get away and do a topical and really kind of bring everybody into it. For instance, if you're single, you really need to listen. Because I want to give four things that if your boyfriend isn't doing it, dump him right away. And just tell him, Pastor Steve said it. Or if you're a wife and you're sitting next to your husband, you don't have to look at him or elbow him. But you're going to remember these four things and pray for him every single day. And if you're a brother wanting to get married, then you need to listen, because if you do these four things, you can be very successful and a great entrepreneur. And it will keep you from losing your business or your job, or it will help you to become all that God wants you to do. And if you're the family guy, like me, it's going to give you clear, direct vision of what to do. You say, well, that's an awful lot in one verse. Well, that's what the Bible's all about. And every once in a while, you can put it together in a package, and you can put a handle on it. And today, we have that. In the book of Acts, in chapter 26, Paul now is standing before King Agrippa. He's on his way, you remember, to see Caesar Nero. He has demanded to see Nero. And that should tell you a little bit about how strong this man is. When you think of a man, we usually say around guys, a man's man. It means that you can beat him, but he's going to keep on coming. It's not like I want to be like John Wayne, but you're Don Knox. That's not what we're talking about here. It means that there is absolute strength within your life, but not a strength to touch a woman or to hurt a person. It's the ability for a guy to be able to focus. And women have tremendous qualities, and they usually run the church, and they're organized, and they're methodical, but there's one thing a guy has that we don't get to see very often. But when the guy really believes in something, nothing can stop him. He is like driven. It doesn't make a difference what the obstacles are. He'll go through it. Where sometimes a woman will just get a little bit discouraged, the guy will continue to go through it. But he has to have that. Otherwise, he procrastinates. So the quality of a man is unbelievably strong. The fatherhood of God. When I think of the Father of God, I think of a rock. I think of someone in absolute control, able to do what he wants and put me where he wants. So there's a respect. So when this thing happens, that God gets a hold of your heart, wonderful things begin to go. So the prayer should be, God, help this man to change. And God, I pray that you would challenge him to become all that God wants. And Holy Spirit, would you comfort him, and would you correct him in all that he needs? And God, you have the capacity to rescue him from his life, to regenerate him to the things of God, to refresh him to become all that we need him to become. And if God gets a hold of a man, it is one of the greatest things to watch that man shake a continent, shake a world. But it's hard. God has to break him. And God has to bend him. And God has to mold him. And most men quit. But Paul the Apostle wouldn't quit. He went to Lystra. They stoned him. He jumped up, knocked off the rocks and the dust, and went back in preaching the gospel. He said, you kill me, I'm going to go to heaven. You keep me alive, I'm going to preach. Whether I live, whether I die, I'm the Lord's. In other words, you couldn't buckle this man. Before, he was a Hebrew, a Jew, of the Pharisees, of the Sanhedrin. He was blameless. He persecuted the church. Now as a Christian, he is committed. And I sit here and stand here because of his strong conviction to put Peter in his place and say, listen, it's by the grace of God and not by legalism. And so here we have four things I want you to kind of think about. Number one, chapter 26, verse 15. I said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecute. So would you underline, and I said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? Underline that, verse 15 of chapter 26. Then in verse 19, wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient. Oh, underline that. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. God, you spoke, and I did. So in verse 15, God, you have become the Lord of my life. Second, God, what you have said, I am doing. Verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and so on. But notice the verse, obtained help from God. There it is. And what am I able to do? I continue. So why do men quit? Because they're not receiving help. Why are they not receiving help? Because they will not ask. Why will they not ask? Because of their pride. So you can get a guy trying to find something, and he ends up in Victorville when he should be in Los Angeles. And he'll tell you to your face, I've just taken the long way around. There's something about us that we just will not confess we are lost. When the wife knows you were lost 40 years ago. In other words, this is something that we have to be in control and govern every situation. And lastly, in verse 25, but he said, I am not mad. Oh, underline that. I am not mad, most noble Festus. But I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. I think that's so good. I am not mad. You know, there was an article in U.S. News and World Report about the February 27th edition, and it was entitled, Dad is Destiny. And this is what it said. Dad, more than any other, will determine a child's success and happiness. The article noted that nearly 2 out of 5 children in America do not live with their fathers. Committed fatherhood would do more to restore a normal childhood to every child and dramatically reduce our nation's most costly social problems than all the pending laws in America. The Institution of American Values said, we need fathers that will take their God-given place according to what God's word says and not according to what Hollywood says. We need more Abrahams, Isaac, and Jacobs, and we need less Archie Bunkers as our role. That's so good. But one last statistic that really kind of drove the whole study today. It says that if two people come together, husband and wife, and worship, 80% of the children will often continue to attend church. But if there is a divorce and the woman comes to church, 30% of the children will continue in worship after she's gone. But if the man brings the kid to church, 70% will attend. And I couldn't believe it. Because I see the value of what women do. But you cannot get away from the fact that when a man is serving God and when a man is worshiping God, it is the most special thing, and children honor that. They want to be like that. They see the tenderness of a man. And the tragicness of today is our children are not seeing what God wants them to see. So this is what I thought. If I was a kid, what would I want? Four things. If I was a kid, I would want a dad like Paul the Apostle. Why? Because Paul was very simply a changed man. Secondly, if I was a kid, I would want a dad like Paul the Apostle because Paul was committed. He was committed. Third, if I was a kid, I would want a dad like Paul the Apostle because Paul was consistent. And lastly, if I was a kid, I would want a dad like Paul the Apostle because Paul was confident. I want to share those four words. Number one, change. Two, committed. Three, consistent. Four, confident. So if you're a wife, you're going to pray this prayer every day for your husband. God, change him. Help him to make a commitment. Help him to be consistent. Lord, help him to be confident. If you're dating a guy, is he changing? Is he committed? Is he consistent with Christ? Is he confident with the Lord? If you're a brother, I'm going to be changing for God's glory. I'm going to make a commitment to God. I'm going to be consistent, putting God first, and I am going to be confident that God's going to help me. Those are the building blocks this morning. Well, first of all, turn with me to Acts 26, verse 11 through 15. I would like my dad to have a changed life. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, being exceedingly mad against them. Paul is speaking. He's given a testimony. I took people out of the synagogue. I beat them. I punished them. I forced them to curse God, take the Lord's name in vain. And being mad against them, I persecuted them in every city. I chased them down. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. So I had the papers. I had everything together. And this is really a good insight to a man. When he's really focused, he has to do something. He gets things together. I have my papers together. I got my act together. I know what I want to do. A fishing trip. What can I say? He gets up early, doesn't need the alarm, has his stuff laid out. It's all together. It's ready to go. He hops in the car and takes off. Anything else? He's totally disorganized. When a man knows what he has to do, it's pretty intense. In verse 13, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, see that? All fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the prick. Get ready to underline verse 15. I said, who art thou, Lord? There it is. Stop right there. You see, what happened is Paul was going to every single city. He was pulling people out. He was murdering people. All of a sudden, someone changed his life. Now, Paul is a missionary loving people, no longer killing, now forgiving people. What happened? This kid would say, my dad changed. What changed his dad? Well, it was his wife constantly nagging at him. No. That will never work. You can try it for 40 years. It will not work. There's only one thing that can change a guy. Because a guy will go out in the garage. A guy will put the TV out in the garage. The guy will take a walk. The guy will tell you he's going to get something at the liquor store just to get away from you. A guy will do all types of things because a guy is built in such a way that he can handle a lot, but he can't handle the constantness of just nitpicking him. And so though he knows he's a failure, and though he knows he's not stepping up to the plate, and he knows he's not doing anything, he's stuck in this manhood. So one day, Paul's on his way doing his thing, and God stops him and says, Paul, bam, on your back. And that's all a man understands. Who can put me on my back? If you're stronger than I am, great. If I got to pay the tax to the IRS, great. If I got to do this, great. In other words, a man understands if you cross this line, you're going to jail. Okay, I won't cross it. There's always that strength within a man. So God comes around in this guy's life, takes this man, Paul, throws him to the ground, and now he's blind. So here was a man that was aggressive, a man that was ready to take on the world, a man that had a mission. Now he's nothing. He cannot see, he cannot walk, he cannot do anything, but he's looking up to God, and guess what? He understands that. He understands what it means to be broken. You say, are you sure? Oh yeah. Jacob, there at Jabbok, he did all these things in his life, pulling all these strings, and when it came down to finally God said, that's it. God waited for him at Jabbok. And when Jacob came across the river, God said, come here. What do you want? Bam! How you doing? Well, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. Get up. Bam! How you doing? I don't know. And the Bible says, through the whole night they wrestled. And finally God said, I gotta go. And he crippled him. He's just limped his whole life. And Joshua, the very same thing, I'm gonna take Jericho. Oh, really? Yeah. I'm taking Jericho. And all of a sudden, Joshua comes and sees this guy, and who are you? I am the captain of the Lord of the hosts. Bam! In the ground. Moses, bam! In the ground. That's all a man understands. And when a man is there broken, and he now is down, God begins to alter his life. And you say, well, why would God do that? Because God has a purpose for a man. There's a strength in a man, a will within a man that will not let him bow to God. But when he's broken, he'll give his life to God. And when he gives his life to God and understands the calling, he'll never leave it. No matter if his wife takes off or his kids take off, this guy is going to stay focused. And that's the problem with the world today. Guys are not meeting God. They think that they're in control, that they can do what they want. And when Paul was blinded, and Paul was down on his luck, and Paul was looking up. Look what he said in verse 15. Who art thou, Lord? That's it. Why would Paul call Jesus Lord? Why would Paul now surrender? Because he had Paul. Oh, you can wrestle with your husbands. You can wrestle with their lifestyle. You can pray and everything else. But you need to give that man to God. And God needs to bring that guy down. And when God gets him, and God lays him on the ground, and this man's looking up, and he can't see, we read, God had to tell him to get up. He was helpless, and a man hates to be helpless. But that's where God starts. That's the first thing I realize, is I want my dad changed. And the only way that dad is going to get changed is he's going to have to go a few rounds with God. And he's going to have to come to realize that God is wiser and stronger and better than he is. That's a good thing. But second, I would like my dad not only to change, but secondly, I would like my dad to be like Paul because he was committed. Notice verse 16 through 19. But rise. I love that, don't you? He could not even get up and stand upon thy feet. In other words, he was whipped. Stand up and stand upon thy feet. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. That's the key. You see, God doesn't break a man just to break him. He breaks a man to make him. He deals with a man to use him. Do you understand that? Because the value of a man is unbelievable. I remember talking to Alan Redpath. And I have to say that the ministry I have today was because of Chuck and Alan Redpath. And when I talked to Alan Redpath, there was something about the man that just shook my life. And it was like, that's what God wants to do. But the steps I've made in my life is out of the pit. God has sent me into the hospital. I have been broken and I'm still being broken. But I'll tell you what, I know today that God has changed my life. But now that he changed it, notice verse 16. He wants me to make a commitment. I have appeared to thee for this purpose, to make you a minister, a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and those things which will appear. That's it. You know, I want you to share what you have seen, but I'm going to show you some other stuff. You're a leader. You are the entrepreneur. You are the guy that's going to be out in front of the family, in front of the relatives. You have the ability to hold the weight. I'll give that strength to you. Notice verse 17. Deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And here is the verse, I believe, that God really wants. To open their eyes. In other words, God used me to open South Bay's eyes. God used me to open my wife's eyes. In other words, use me as an instrument to do that. And then he goes on, to turn them from darkness to light. Now there it is. See, if you're playing with darkness or playing with the light, won't work. And a guy doesn't do well. You want to destroy a guy, let him vacillate back and forth. Either he has to be sold out to Satan or sold out to God. This in-between stuff won't work. Women can do that, it seems like. They can kind of flow with it. A guy, he's helpless. Either he's on or he's off. Either he's out in the world or on for God. This in-between stuff is no good because he's like, what am I going to do? Okay, we'll just kind of go along for it. And guys really kind of say, well, you know, I am in control. Yeah, right. That's why your wife could bring home anybody anytime, but you have to call and get permission. No, that's not true. You know exactly what I'm talking about. He goes on to say, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin, the inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith. And get ready to underline verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient. Number 2 point. It was God that changed Paul. It was God that committed Paul. You see, guys have a problem committing. It's like my wife will say to me, Steve, you want dinner? Well, yeah, kind of, I think so. What does, yeah, I kind of think so mean? Well, kind of a little bit, and what does, I wish you'd just fix it and then call me. But in my mind, it doesn't work that way. I mean, what are we talking about here? A lot of money? We're talking about a lot of time? You know, all these things go through my brain. So yeah, I'm kind of hungry, but I'm not going to say that because I don't know what you're really going to want. If you fix what I don't like, I really don't want to eat a lot. So this thing that goes on in guy's life, it's like, are you going to marry me or not? What kind of sort of thing? I think so, maybe, you know, we're going to hit. And a wife wants, yes, no. Women are great secretary. Yes or no? Are you going or not? Tell me. And the guy goes, well, I kind of think so. I'm going to. I don't really know. But I really am. And it's like it drives women crazy. It just drives them crazy. And all of a sudden, when God gets into your life, there's a commitment. Yes, no. Yes, no. Our family's going to certain. No, we're not going to go towards the golden cap. Yes, we're going towards heaven. No, HBO. Yes, Angel Station. No, yes. I mean, it becomes so crystal clear that this is light, this is darkness, this is God, this is hell. I need to pray for you. You need to be forgiven. In other words, the strength of a man to put things together and organize it comes crystal clear. Very crystal clear. And then the third thing I see so powerfully, I would like my dad to have a consistent life. Boy, isn't that the truth? And verse 20 and 22, but show first unto them of Damascus at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God. So reach out to Jerusalem, Judea, to the world and do works for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. So they're chasing Paul right now. Now, I want you to notice verse 22 and get ready to underline. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day. Would you underline, I continued. I'm going to tell you why I believe that men cannot be consistent in their life because they're not receiving help from God. You can receive tremendous strength from God. Your wife goes through that change of life. You go, oh boy, let me tell you, you can go through it with flying colors if God helps you. If he doesn't, God bless you. You can go through a thing where God, your kids go crazy and your wife falls apart, but you can hold together if God helps you. And you can even lose your job and go crazy if God helps you. So the greatest verse, I think, in my life is I can do anything, go through anything, stand on my own 2 feet because, God, you help me. And therefore, I can continue. We're never taught that. You got to continue. You got to walk down this road. You got to be strong. You got to do all these things. And what happens is we begin to lose heart. get angry, we get bitter, we walk away and we fall in sin. What was missing? God. You see, it started with God. God arrested you because you're an anchor. God turned you. God spoke to you. God wanted you to make a commitment and you've been obedient. Now God wants you to continue. Well, how much do I have to go through until Jesus Christ comes? You have to stand. Well, no one does anything. I know. Well, no one pats me on the back. I know. Well, they give me socks and t-shirts when I get older. I know. Well, mom, you know, you can raise a kid his whole life and the first touchdown, he looks on the screen and says, hi, mom. Doesn't say anything about dad. But you see, he shouldn't have to. Because a real man doesn't need that. A man stands, supports, strengthens, and is always there. He's not all over the place, up and down and angry and yelling and screaming and all that. He's consistent. Well, how are you consistent in the world in which we live? Because he has God. So if you don't have God, you don't know what a commitment really is. And your commitments will break. You go out and commit adultery, everything else. You will not be consistent. You're going to be all over the place. Women, listen to me. If you're dating, if this guy has not seen God, if this guy has not made a commitment to God, he will never be consistent in your life. He's going to break your heart every single time. And when children hurt you and jobs and people and bosses and everything else, you're okay. You know why you're okay? Because you got God. It says right here, this is the greatest verse. I continued until this day. Why? Having obtained help. He broke me here. I've been obedient here. You've helped me here. See, do you get a little picture? You've helped me. You've helped me. You helped me. Women don't see that. People, God, you're helping me to be strong. And lastly, I would like to have a dad that is confident. Not questioning or doubting. Notice verse 23 through 26. That Christ should suffer and that he would be the first that should be raised from the dead and show forth life unto the people and to the Gentiles. As he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you're crazy. You are beside yourself. Much learning has made thee mad. The CEO, hey, you're just no good for this company. You're worthless. The neighbor, you know, you're just worthless. Worthless. Notice verse 25. But, the conjunction, but. He said, I am not mad. I love that. Most noble Festus, he honored him. But I speak forth the word of truth. You cannot argue with that. You can look at your children and you can say, you know that you're in sin. You don't have to get weird. You speak the truth. You can look at your wife and you can say, honey, can we just deal with this month, not 20 years ago? Right here. And she can go all over the place. And a little hint, you just put your arm around her and she'll calm down. You can get back together, you just touch her because they like to be touched. You touch and forgive at the same time. But you can weather all that. But if you don't have God, it just messes things up. You're trying to convince your wife that you're really special. You're trying to show the world that you're really important. And God says, you know, you need to go down. Because when you find a guy who isn't surrendered, he can do a lot of damage. And so I want to challenge you this morning in a very loving way. This is what you should pray for me, for your husbands, kids, for your dads, and every dad, we need this. God, change me. Help me to find my Damascus road where you've whipped me. Where you have just dealt with me. We've talked the trash. We've talked this and that, the street gang. I do this. Bam, you're underground. Now what are you going to talk about? He said to, you remember Job? Stand up and answer. I don't have to do that. Stand up and answer me. Okay, I'm here. What do you want, God? Where were you when I made the crocodiles? I don't know. Where were you when I flung the stars into this? I don't know. Finally, Job just fell down. He couldn't handle it. Come here, stand. See, if you really find a man, you found a man who deals with God. And when you deal with God, that's it. Better than any street gang. Better than any president. No one stands like God stands. It changes a man inside. When that happens, commitment is easy. White, black, light, dark. God, Satan, simple. I'll make a commitment. My family, serve God. You, out. We have to ask forgiveness. This is Satan, this is God. This is the flesh, this is the spirit. Easy. Consistent? Because God's helping me. I can get through it. Everyone's yelling and screaming and up and down and all over the place and things are changing and I can be consistent. None of these things moved me. Neither did I count my life dear that I might finish the course. God, you brought me into this world to be in this family, to be in this church, to be a stabilizing effect. You're like, okay. And lastly, God, you and only you can teach me to be confident. You can say what you want, but this is the truth. I'm not mad. Felix, Agrippa, you king and you king and everyone else, you guys need to come to Christ. And when you have that, it is so cool because now God has made you.